And Dad, oh, here comes the foul ball. What happened to the kid? Oh, my goodness.
Have you seen this video of the dad picking up his daughter at the Dodgers game to help catch a foul ball that's coming their way? And oops, dad lets go of his daughter and she slides down to the ground as he tries to catch the ball and misses. But he gained international humiliation when the clip went viral.
Dad's getting a lecture from security, and I think that's good. Look, sir, please do not drop your child.
Come on, we'll get you a ball.
David Lieber knows what it's like to be on the receiving end of that kind of publicity. He wrote about it in his book, Bad Dad. But does the title fit the dad? Dave was the watchdog columnist for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram in Texas, and back in 2008, he got into an argument with his 11-year-old son, Austin, at a McDonald's. And in a fit of frustration, Dave told Austin to walk the mile or so home. Dave locked the doors of his car and drove off, but turned around a few minutes later. And what he found at the restaurant startled him. Police taking statements from adults huddled around his son. And eventually, Dave was charged with two felonies and suspended from his column. Dave Lieber joins us now with more of his story. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
And Dave, can you start by telling us a bit more about what happened on that day?
Well, I had one of those bad dad moments that a lot of parents can relate to. I took my son out to McDonald's for breakfast. He finished before I did. He was ready to go. I wasn't. We got into an argument. I told him if he didn't settle down, I was going to let him walk home about 7/10 of a mile, 15 minutes across the street into our subdivision. And he didn't listen to me. And so, poof, without thinking, I just got in the car and said, walk home, and drove away.
And I want to note it was your wife who said, go back and get him. What were you thinking?
Exactly. I called her right away from the cell phone. I was driving up the road, and she said, what? You go back there right now and go get him. And when I come back to McDonald's, I look up, and there's two police cars there from the city police force that I have investigated in my newspaper column for the previous dozen years. I know right away I'm in a huge amount of trouble.
Yeah, and you immediately tell your editor at the newspaper and decide to write a column based on the experience, and you called it A Parent Learns from a Mistake. What was the reaction to that column?
Very mild. People were like, oh, okay, that's interesting, and we moved on, or so we thought.
And then the story was picked up by local TV. It went viral, and people across the country started commenting on it, and your parenting. What were some of the things people were saying?
One of the things I learned from this, among the many lessons, was that people are just really horrible to you when they know about a tiny little bit of your life and they cast judgments on your whole. So people didn't really know what kind of a dad I was. I have three children. This involved my youngest. And it was painful for my family to read all this negative stuff. And it was also painful for a lot of my readers who knew me better.
But this did open up a larger conversation about parenting in the 21st century, and you tackle that in your book. You write that this is a generation of parents that do their kids' homework, they fight with other parents and the umps at Little League games, and they basically overcoddle their kids.
So yeah, I tapped into something really much bigger than me, and it was so eye-opening for me and everybody else, and it also brought up a lot of memories that people had with their own parents. The larger debate that opened up, though, was how far can the government intervene in raising a child? As you know, Monica, you can't hit children anymore. You know, in public, you could be arrested for that. And there's even a parentalrights.org group that's trying to get a constitutional amendment passed that says the government can't interfere in the raising of a child. So there was a lot of things going on all at the same time with this.
Yeah, when I told this story to other people, a lot of older people said to me, that happened to me. Yeah, my parents told me to take a hike. Nobody barged in, and you were charged with two felonies. Describe what you were charged with.
Oh, I was charged with very, very serious crimes. I was charged with a felony count of a child abandonment, which is generally when you leave your child in a field or, you know, drop them off in a basket on a doorstep. And then I was charged with endangerment, which is when you leave your child in a hot car. And those are both felony offenses that would have brought me some serious jail time.
You also write about another parent who's gotten some bad press for her choices, Lenore Scanese, who's been branded America's worst mom for letting her 9-year-old ride the New York City subway alone. She calls it free-range parenting, free-range kids. But as you said before, that sounds like it's harder to do these days with a generation of parents who hover.
Yeah, the whole helicopter parenting idea of parents not letting their kids go out and play. Lenore Scanese, she organized Let Your Kid Play in the Park Day a few Saturdays ago. So the kids were supposed to just go play for an hour or two in the park without parental supervision and just get to be kids the way we get to be kids.
But there's so many more dangers out there for kids now. And is it really safe to let them go to the park alone? There are a lot of people who believe it just isn't.
I know they believe that, Monica, but it's not really true, because the percentage of children who get into trouble who are abducted or killed or whatever is so small. And the media, of which I'm a part of, we magnify that so that it looks like it's a scourge or an epidemic. And because of the fears that have been brought forth in our society, you know, we keep our kids locked up. In the old days, I think the adult in the restaurant would have said, you know, son, you shouldn't backtalk your father like that. Now go walk home and be there when he gets there and apologize to him. But now, you know, they call 911. Having said all that, I don't blame anybody else for this. I take full responsibility.
Assuming no one had called the police on that day and you'd gone back and picked up Austin, do you think it was an okay thing to have done?
No, I would never do it again. I hold myself to a very high standard. When I fall off my little self-imposed pedestal, I get ashamed and embarrassed, you know, and I don't mind admitting that. And so I would never do that again. And I learned a lot about parenting. One of the things I learned is being more patient and being more understanding and being more tender with him.
And what's been Austin's reaction to all this? You nearly lost your job over it. At one point, as you say, jail might have been in your future. How did he feel?
Well, I think he feels like any boy would feel when this happened. He was shocked and amazed that this was everywhere. He couldn't believe on the internet he was reading things about him that people were writing who didn't even know him. And he's embarrassed by it. We don't really dwell on it together or go over it together. We did take a walk from McDonald's to our house recently to see how long it took.
And how long was it?
It was 14 minutes. He walked very, very fast. It was hard to keep up with him.
And did you?
He's taller than me now, you know.
Well, yeah. You know, since you aren't speaking to us from a federal penitentiary, we can assume things went your way. The charges were eventually dropped. So what's your big takeaway from all of this?
This story is really not about me. It's about everybody else, because what I see is that in anything that happens in any day that goes wrong in your life suddenly can go viral. Everybody has a camera these days, and it's just a hop, skip, and a jump away from you doing something like yelling at your child or spanking them. Someone pulls out an iPhone camera, films it. The next thing you know, Fox News is knocking on your door, as they were with me.
Dave, since this is your first interview ever, and I mean since this incident took place in 2008, is there anything else you wanted to say or you've reflected on that you always wish you could have said to the media and haven't had the opportunity?
Well, to the media, I would say, you know, when you have a newspaper columnist who's arrested by his police department, you probably ought to look and see if he's written anything about them in the previous dozen years, because nobody bothered to check, and they would have found an avalanche of information. And to the audience, I just want to say that I know that many people listening to me are relating, because they have children that just push their buttons and sometimes they just want to explode. And just think about me and remember that it's just better to take a deep breath and step away and calm yourself, or else you're going to end up like writing a book called Bad Dad or Bad Mom like me.
Dave Lieber is the author of Bad Dad. What are your thoughts? Go to hereandnow.org and let us know. And Dave, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Monica.
And happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
Just me and you.
I'm always here for you.
Look over your shoulder. I'll be there.
Whatever you need, Ooh. Just call on me.
We gon' rise.
Whatever
we gon' shine.
I'll be there for you anytime. You and I.
True that, true that.
Just the two.
That's a really good song. How much am I getting paid for this, Dad?